All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of It's Brewing at McEwen, a USF baseball podcast. I'm your host, Mark Giardino, and today I'm joined by a special guest, the head coach of USF baseball, Coach Mitch Hannes. Coach, it's great to have you back on the show. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Doing good. It's been a few months, huh?
Yeah, it's been a couple
Yeah.
of months, and I was going to get to that. We did have some players on in between. That was fun. We took up your suggestion on Sebastian Greco. We enjoyed that, so that was good. But yeah, before we dive into baseball, maybe you have any fun off the field updates for us, maybe the last 2 months? Any new restaurants in Tampa or a good road trip you had with the guys?
Don't mention road trip this year. We've had a heck of a time.
Oh,
Think we've had,
really?
yeah, it's been this crew's done a good job. Our team's done a good job. I mean, we had flights delayed, we had flights canceled. We got into Wichita about 3 in the morning before the Friday night game. We had a trip back from Memphis, I think it was, that we basically got our flight canceled and had the bus from Atlanta back in. So we've had a lot of tough travel issues this year, so don't mention road trips to our guys, but they've handled it well. They've handled it really well and responded. It's tough. You get back at that time to start a new week, but they've done a good job with it.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's that stinks when that happens, but I mean, it builds character, if nothing else.
Yeah, built something.
Yeah, something, exactly. Some resilience. But yeah, as you kind of mentioned, it's kind of hard to believe, but it's been a while. It's been 2 months actually since we had you on the
Yeah.
show. And for me, in my perspective, the season has really kind of flown by. The time we had you on the show was right after the Villanova series. I remember, you were a little disappointed with that weekend, and you went into from there forward. I mean, you had a really nice run. You got the guys going. Since then, it's been solid. I mean, obviously, you had every season's going to have its ups and downs, but I wanted to get your perspective on, how you feel these last couple months have gone for your team.
Well, I think that Villanova series, man, that was a low point. We felt like we played very poorly that weekend. We felt like, we should have at worst case won the weekend series, let alone the way it turned out. But I think after that, we went back to work. I mean, there's not a lot you can do at that point. We didn't have time with the season in motion to really sit down and pout, and the guys did a good job getting back to work. I think since that point, we've grown a lot as a team. We've been through a lot as a team, good, bad, and ugly, whatever it might be. The guys have shown up every day to play hard. We haven't always maybe had the pitching depth that we would have liked or this or that, but the reality is, it is what it is, and you got to go compete with what you got. And for the most part, over the last few months, I feel like the guys have done a good job of that.
Yeah, I like what you mentioned there about the pitching depth, because that's actually something I'm going to get to. Because there was a certain point in the season in the beginning where I was thinking to myself, like, okay, like we might be 10, 12 deep of like reliable arms. And then towards the middle, it was kind of slimming down there, the guys you could kind of count on every time. But in the last few weeks, we've really seen that depth kind of step up, which is great. So I kind of want to kick it to the next segment here. Just some of my observations and just some questions I have since the last time we spoke. So I wanted to bring up a few names, actually, of some of the guys that I was thinking about who had these positive turnarounds. The first one that really comes to mind is Aiden Longoria, right? I mean, he was just named the AAC Pitcher of the Week. He started off the season nice. The first couple of weeks looked really good. Then he had some ups and downs, and then we didn't see him for an entire month until he had that great outing against Florida. I just wanted to ask, like, why did he miss the month, and then why do you think he's been able to really turn it around in a positive way?
Well, I think the big thing in all of this is guys don't disappear internally for a month. I think as time is going on, we're watching bullpens, we're watching those guys throw against our hitters, after a weekend series who may not gotten a lot of at bats. Those guys that didn't pitch will throw in kind of a simulated scrimmage. We're watching bullpens, we're watching all of that. And I think for a lot of guys, the reality of just like I told Aiden and I mentioned to a lot of other guys, you've got to earn trust, and that's the reality of all of this. We got to trust to put you out there and put you back out there. And there was a time period that he really scuffled with his slider, which caused some command issues with the fastball and just trying to do too much. I think, like a lot of guys, when they struggle the first time, it was good outing. Then when he struggled that third time out, he really went downhill for a while. And I think a lot of that is how you handle those bad outings and you get back at it. And I think he just got caught in that spiral for a while and worked his way back up the mountain to get out there and go. And I think that's obviously very impressive to watch. I watched a few bullpens in the middle of that storm, and man, he couldn't find our catcher. But he battled through all that and got himself to a place. When you go through those mental struggles, it's never easy. But the reality is, too, we're a college baseball team, and when you struggle, other people get those next two or three opportunities. And until they struggle, you don't get one that comes back your way, and that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I mean, like a month, and like you said, you're watching those bullpens during that period, and like you said, fighting through those things. But as you're impressed as his coach, I mean, as fans, I mean, I love seeing something like that because you saw the potential in the beginning of the season, and then you kind of just see it go away, and you're like, man, that would just. So there's a couple other stories like that that I wanted to bring up, actually. Go
Well, and
ahead.
the other thing I'll mention on all of that, teams adjust. The minute you go out there and throw the first couple of times, teams have your DNA and they're going to set up a game plan to beat you, and you've got to be able to counteract that. And when we were going through that period where we're trying openers, we're doing everything we can to try to stop the bleeding. It was a rough few months for us. Actually, a rough 2 or 3 weeks until we finally settled into a direction we wanted to go with things.
Yeah, definitely. The period of using the opener, and I'll give you a lot of credit. It was on our podcast actually that you had mentioned that you were going to go with that strategy that weekend against Maryland. And when I first heard it, I was like, that's cool. Because what was happening at the moment wasn't quite working. So you wanted to change something. You did. You got those results, and it was awesome. But then you were seeing an evolution in the last 3 or 4 weeks where you're kind of getting back more to traditional starter roles, which is good to see too. Nice.
We've seen guys start to take jobs as opposed to just getting opportunity and really not taking the job. We've seen that evolve. We watched Jack Nedrow go from a bullpen piece to a guy that's been a good starter for us. We watched Corey Kling go from, struggle a little bit out of the pen to being very solid the last few times. And I think I wish this would have happened, earlier in the year. I wish guys would have taken jobs and never relinquished them, but we had some turbulence in that pitching area, and we just had to adapt and adjust and try to do what we felt was best for our team at that given time.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's actually, you mentioned a couple names that I wanted to mention in this segment, actually. Corey Kling is a very similar story to Aiden Longoria. He started the season great. And when he got into his period where he was struggling, it was pretty bad. He was having a few bad outings for sure. But in his last 10 and a third innings, he's only allowed a run, only allowed 5 hits, no walks. I mean, and this is kind of consistent with the Corey Kling that I was familiar with because in 2024, he was effective. In his summer ball, he was effective. Beginning of the season, he was effective. So that bad stretch was really surprising. But like you said, teams adjust. They have video. They have the data analytics on all the pitchers. What do you think is the story with Corey Kling and how you got him to kind of start doing better?
Well, I think with a lot of these guys, they spend a lot of time with Coach Schlereth, and they're constantly trying to tweak things that need tweaked and tighten some things up. I think, he's worked hard at a little more internal rotation to hide the baseball, and it's really helped him. I mean, if you watched him early, he didn't quite rotate in as much, and I think that's a tweak they made that's really helped him. And I know sometimes when you're in the storm and you're tweaking things, they don't grab it just that Tuesday and all of a sudden they have it Wednesday. It takes a couple of weeks to really take hold and for guys to make those in-season adjustments. So I think with all these guys, I think it's the constant It's the constant work in that pen with Coach Schlereth and working some things out and figuring out some things, and then given that time to really take that a guy can go to a game mound then and actually execute the adjustments. So I think that's what you're seeing with a lot of guys.
That's awesome. I mean, I can really relate to that, having played a lot of competitive golf in my life and knowing that you try to tinker with your swing change, it's not going to look good for a few weeks, maybe a month. And it's funny, the timeline is actually kind of interesting with these guys too. It took about a few weeks, a month,
Yeah.
till you started seeing those. And a pitcher, is they have their mechanics. There are some similarities with golf in that sense. But okay, yeah, I mean that's good to hear that work was being put in season, although some coaches may not be willing to do that because they're like, oh, I don't want to, mess up a guy. But look, I mean, it's if it ends up in a better result at the end of the day, I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, very cool. The last guy I wanted from pitcher standpoint for turnarounds, that also really has stood out to me lately. And he's an important one. He's really the only left-hand pitcher that's kind of consistently being used out of the bullpen at the time right now. That's Brandon Keister.
Yeah.
How have you liked seeing his turnaround?
Well, I think it's been really good for us. We don't have a lot of left-handed options. That's one of the most frustrating things all year for us has been the fact that, we throw a righty and we got seven lefties sitting in there, and we don't have an excellent left-hand breaking ball or two to bring in there out of the bullpen, which is really tough because you can't play matchups late in the game like you would hope to. So I think what Keister has given us is, even though his breaking ball is, I wouldn't call it a great breaking ball, but it's been plenty good enough here recently, and he's been landing it. And that angle he throws from is tough on lefties to begin with. So I think as time has gone, we've if you've noticed the last few weeks, probably three, four, his outings have been really short, and we're prepping him down the stretch here to be able to use him in every game. I mean, we feel like he's a guy that can come in at some juncture of the game with the right situation, the right hitter they may want up there. And we're going to have to use him a lot down the stretch here for some matchups.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think he's going to be a key strategic piece from that standpoint, where you're just looking at, 2 times per weekend is fantastic usage from him. You can get that for sure. And obviously, as the tournament comes around, which we'll get to later, that's a whole week long baseball. So, and then the last pitch on last thing on pitchers, you mentioned his name before. I mean, I just wanted to give a shout out to Jack Nedro. I mean, since once we had you on the show, he was actually coming off that rough outing against Villanova. And then ever since then, he went into the bullpen for a bit and then he seized that starting role. I mean, he has a track record. We all know he was a Division II All-American as a starter, but the adjustment to Division I and just claiming that role here at the end of the season. What have you seen out of him? And then my one other thing on that is his hand okay? Will we be seeing him this weekend?
In terms of the hand, he's okay. X-rays and everything came back fine. Obviously, there could still be a little. He certainly isn't feeling 100% after taking that off the knuckle. But I think the other thing is Coach Schlereth really took away a few pitches from him and had him focus on throwing two to three instead of maybe three to four. And I think that transition has really helped him. It's really paid dividends. And you've seen it. I mean, we've all watched it. He's been very good for us for the last month. So, and then the other thing is he's a really good competitor. I think that gets lost in a lot of this. I think, he's a good competitor, and he handles failure well and sticks his nose back in there, and he's not scared. And that's been great for us. I mean, we needed someone to really jump in there during this time period over the last few months, and he's certainly a guy that has really stepped up for us.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge. I mean, I don't think you would have ever been able to get Ofoli away from the opener strategy if he didn't step up in the manner that he has,
Right.
which is huge. But yeah, I can see what you're saying about him using less pitches. From what I'm seeing, a lot of usage of the cutter. Is that kind of what you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean he's thrown that a lot. His ability to locate has been excellent. I mean he's been whatever coach is called. He's whether it be fastball in, cutter away, whatever it is, he's been on target. And I think that's been the biggest change. I think early on you just saw a guy trying to do too much,
Yeah.
and he's settled down. And it's common for a lot of these guys as young players, even though they might be a senior, he still is transferred in wanting to prove himself and wanting to prove it right away. And it just took a little time.
Good. Well, he's peaking at the right time, so I'm glad. Very glad. So my last part of this segment here, I just wanted to also shout out some position players. We talked about pitchers. So here's a few position players that have kind of stood out to me since we last spoke. So one thing we talked about on the last podcast was you had mentioned a few names of some guys that you said, look, I think they're going to turn it around soon. Just we're going to stick with them. One of those guys was Lance Triple. After the Villanova series, his batting average was at 192. You even mentioned, like, look, no one's more upset about how he's doing than himself, right? But since then, he's batted 292 with an 887 OPS, which is one of the tops on the teams during that time span. What can you say about him, his turnaround, and just the role he plays for you guys?
Well, I think first and foremost, he's thrown that gear on about every game, which is impressive in itself. The amount of time you got to spend taking care of your body and in the strength room and nutrition and everything else to be able to catch the number of games that he's caught for us is not easy. And I think he's involved. He's evolved into one of our leaders. And we kind of thought that's the way it would be, but it certainly over time worked itself out. And I think initially, like a lot of guys, they want to prove themselves. They want to prove it early and often. And when you don't, you tend to panic a little bit and try to do too much. And I think as Lance has settled in and maybe let the game come to him a little bit, let the at-bats come to him a little bit, as opposed to try to force things up there, he's gotten a lot better. And just like on the pitching side, those hitters spend a lot of time with Coach Peters, whether it be in the cage, whether it be on the field, and they're constantly putting time in. And I think that goes unseen, by a lot of folks. But you're really happy to see guys that when they struggle, man, they go back down there with Coach Peters and go to work and spend time, and they don't just sit back and say, well, eventually I'll get it. So give Lance a lot of credit. He's put a lot of extra time in with Coach, and I'm glad to see it land where he is right now. And I know he certainly feels a lot better at this juncture with the way everything has played out.
That's awesome. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned the amount of times he puts on the catcher equipment. I mean, every time he's in the lineup, he's playing catcher, and it's practically every game. I mean, it's really impressive. And just to hear you talk about, the fact that there is way more that goes into that than what meets the eye, the recovery, the nutrition, yeah. So credit to Lance. We're enjoying seeing what he's doing, and it's going to be exciting to see him finish the season out for sure. Couple other names that have really stood out since we last spoke. One, in the sense of it's a very similar story to Lance, Rafael Betancourt. After the Villanova series, he was batting 170, and that's a guy who was a career pretty much 300 hitter, preseason all conference. That must have been really tough for him. We didn't really talk about it that much back then, but since then he's been batting it during the span since then, he's hit 321. So that's a drastic turnaround. His season average is at a nice, more respectable place now. What can you say about how he's done?
Well, and even early with Rafi, I know his average didn't bear out a lot, but he was still giving us some quality at bats, So we felt like over time that he was going to be fine, just because of the number of times he found the barrel early in the season. So again, credit to him by not panicking and staying at it and extra work and extra time. And these guys have been great about, we got to 6:30 game, shoot, they might be in the cages at 2 o'clock with Coach Peters tomorrow. And that I think you root for guys that are going to put the time in. And I think the fact that guys have gotten out there early and put the extra time in you see a lot of those turnarounds happen because they're willing to make the adjustments that are necessary and stick with them.
Definitely. And one thing I've observed about Rafi, like watching him for 3 years now, is his approach to the bat is kind of unique compared to some other players. I see him attack early and often in counts. Did you kind of notice that approach of his? And when you came in and said, hey, that's how that works for him, just let him do what works for him.
I think part early on when he was struggling a little bit, I think he might have been doing that a little too much. Here lately, I've certainly observed more at bats where he has taken marginal pitches earlier in the count. So I think as he's gotten hot, I think he's been a little more selective up there and maybe not swinging himself into some outs, early on. So I know this weekend at Florida Atlantic, I watched him a few times taking borderline pitches and then getting good swings. So I think again early when our guys were anxious, especially during that Villanova series, we were trying to hit the first thing that came up there. We didn't care what it was or where it was, and that's why that was such a frustrating weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Another name that's kind of fun these two last two names are pretty fun to talk about as well. This guy was after the Villanova series. I think the Villanova series was the first series where he was like starting every day, pretty much, or almost every day. And that's Carlos Hakame, your second baseman now, your everyday second baseman now. Opening weekend, week two, week three, that wasn't quite the case yet. He was getting in and out a little bit. But he's really established himself. He's gotten the AAC Player of the Week at one point. His hitting stats are amongst the top on the team across the board. What can you say about him?
Well, I think beyond the hitting, we were at a point early in the season where we're just trying to solidify our defense. We just didn't have a great feel of where we were at defensively. We felt like we needed to shore some things up, so we put him in there, and he certainly shored up, second base for us and played a very solid defensive second base for us. And then offensively, he had a good fall for us. We knew smart hitter, understands the game, understands what pitchers are trying to do to him. And so we really felt like offensively he would bring something to the table. And he's been about what we thought, maybe exceeded that at times, but we certainly thought he had the ability to be a solid offensive performer for us from the fall.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only really thing I knew about him before the season was his stats at Miami-Dade Community College, and they were pretty good. But I mean, I think offensively, he's actually exceeding what he did there. And it sounds like the main thing you were really expecting was the good defense, which you're getting. But yeah, it's encouraging to see guys like grow as hitters. And I think that you're seeing that with him, and he's only a sophomore, I think. So yeah, it's awesome for the future as well. So here's my last position player that I wanted to mention since the last time we talked. He's only a freshman. We haven't seen him too much, but when we do see him, he makes a really positive impact. That's Anthony Quigley. One thing that stands out watching him is he's got incredible range, especially in the outfield the other day. I saw him easily get to balls that probably weren't that easy to get to for most people. He attacks pitch as well, hits the ball hard when he gets his base hits. I think he's a recruit that you actually inherited, high school recruit that you
Sure.
inherited.
Yeah.
But obviously you've made the effort to keep him. But can you talk a little bit about him and what you think about him and the role he could play in this program in the future?
Well, I think Anthony's a very talented player. I mean, he's look at the skill set. He's as talented as anyone you're going to see. I think obviously coming into us in the fall with the arm surgery out of high school, really set him back. So he wasn't able to do a lot in the fall. And then early spring, we got going and he had an issue that occurred that set him back just with the arm. We had to kind of back up then on the rehab. It just put him a long way behind. Or I think, had he possibly had a fall and not set back in the early spring, he's a guy you probably would have seen a lot more. And then finding time once we were gone was hard. And I think the sky's the limit for him. I think, like a lot of guys, when they learn to be consistent in everything every day, that it changes things. And I just see a guy from where he started to where he is that is just ready to pop. I mean, he's going to be an exciting player. He can do a lot of things that a lot of guys can't. Has very good power, very good bat speed, good runner, and he was really good in high school off the mound too. And I think he'll be more of a pin piece moving forward for us if we use him on the mound. I think he's going to certainly figure into our lineup for years to come.
Okay, so your vision is assuming the health is 100%. You're looking at potential everyday lineup player down the road with a potential bullpen role.
Sure. And
Okay.
he's worked hard to he's worked really hard in the infield this year, to be an adequate and above average defensive infielder. And so he's a guy that can play just about anywhere.
Yeah, because I noticed when you got into the game a couple weeks ago, he was in the infield, and then I was surprised actually to see him in the outfield, which was cool because I didn't know he was available for both. But yeah, that's awesome. Okay. Yeah, exciting, honestly. Every time I watch him play, I'm like, man, this is a lot of potential there, which is John said on our podcast the other night that he reminds him a little bit of Ellie De La Cruz. So that's a high praise. So.
I'm sure Anthony will appreciate that.
For sure. So the last thing on players, I just wanted to ask you, are there any other players on the team that maybe I haven't mentioned, but maybe last time you said, hey, these guys are struggling a little bit, I think they're going to turn it around soon. Do you have any of
I sure hope so this time of the year.
those?
I've watched these guys all year, just like the rest of our staff, and they busted their tail. And one thing that we talked about the other day as a staff is we haven't really had that point in time where we had a bunch of guys in our lineup hot. We were throwing it well, we were catching it well. We haven't really put all the phases together, and that's why we've been a little inconsistent at times. And it's not easy to do that for long periods of time, but man, we're still waiting. We're still waiting to have that one stretch where we just put it all together. And certainly hopeful down the stretch here that, our baseball is best baseball is still ahead of us. And we do have some guys that haven't had the seasons they want, but if you watch Sunday, Brad Keelory had three or four great at bats and played a great shortstop for us. And we've had a lot of guys and Ryan Pruitt has been solid for us all year, and he hasn't swung it as well as he would like, but that certainly doesn't mean that those guys aren't going to get hot down the stretch here with three or four other guys, and all of a sudden we go into the tournament with seven or eight guys swinging the heck out of the bat. And so we haven't had that moment in time yet this year that a lot of teams have had. Frankly, teams have had four or five guys. We've scouted for them and got ready to play them on weekends, said, man, they've got four or five guys hot right now. And so hopefully this stretch run is our time.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think Brad Keelory is a good name. I mean, obviously his defense has been great all season, and I like watching him take his at bats. I mean, I feel like he has good at bats. I mean, he fouls off a lot of pitches. He has pretty good recognition. I do feel like better results could be down the pipeline for him, but he still manages to be clutch even when he's struggling. Those, the walk offs and key RBI hits here and there. But yeah, that's a good one.
He's been good. I think, Marcus Brodell's had a good year for us. Jackson Mayo's, he's scuffled a little bit, but he's still out there working hard every day and trying to turn things around down the stretch here. And with Stuart Puckett and Matt Rose, we've kind of had them platooning somewhat at third, but you have to really appreciate both those guys with the limited roles or the rotating around. They've still given us pretty good at bats consistently. So been a lot of good through this stretch, but I certainly don't feel like we've played our best baseball yet.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, you want to see all phases of the game come together on the same weekend. And there's some games where it's like, even if you look at the last game of the series, or actually, I'll get to this. I was going to talk about the UTSA series, but even the last series, game against FAU, this past Sunday. I mean, we didn't pitch too bad. I mean, held them to 6 runs, but their offense that had been doing a lot the first 2 days just kind of didn't have much energy that last day, I guess. I don't know. What was your kind of thought on that?
Well, you used the words, we didn't pitch too bad. That means we didn't pitch well. We didn't hit well. We didn't. So we got beat. I mean, that's the reality of it at this level. And certainly our guys know by this point, I said it again the other day, good baseball travels. I mean, if you're playing really good baseball, really solid baseball, you can go anywhere and play with anyone. And that's been a fight, for us. But even in our time periods when we were giving up 6 runs in the first inning there, it seemed like for 3 weeks, or the times we it didn't seem like we were going to score, against Charlotte there for a while. And the one thing that you can point back to is these guys have not stopped competing.
No, for sure.
So as not too bad as we've played at times, we've still competed our asses off, and that's been the most important part. That's been the mission all years, to go out and make sure the people that follow us, like you guys and the other fans and our alumni, they know that when we walk out on that field, they're going to get everything we got.
Yeah, and I'll 100% agree that when we watch them, that's what we see. I mean, we love the fight. There has really barely been a game where I feel like we're out of it. I mean, you always see us clawing back. And I would do want to touch on the UTSA series here at the end, but we'll get to that in a second. But the last segment I just want to kind of get to is just let's talk a little bit about this last weekend of the season coming up and the AAC tournament coming up. The first thing I just want to mention is, we're heading into the last weekend of the regular season. We got games Thursday, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. And then the AAC tournament starts on Tuesday. So that's a very quick turnaround. With the AAC tournament in mind, how is that affecting your strategy this weekend, especially managing your starting pitchers like Corey Braun? Will he start on tomorrow? And how are you playing that?
Corey will most likely get very limited action this weekend. And for several reasons. I mean, we didn't win the league. And I don't think if you finish second or 22nd, it doesn't really, it is what it is, right? And I think the way the tournament is set up, it's double elimination, no holds barred. I mean, it's wide open, the way it's set up, so any seed can win, which Tulane has come out of the lower seeds to win it. And I think the biggest thing with Corey Braun is, I mean, that guy's what a season. He's got 87 innings in, and if you get on the, you'd have a hard time finding anyone else that's matched his innings or above him in the country. I don't know exactly what the number would be, but he's thrown in 13 starts. I mean, to get 87 innings is just unbelievably impressive. So we've got to give Corey somewhat of a limited blow. So we have him at top strength for the tourney.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm assuming are you kind of thinking that with maybe like a guy like Nedro? I mean, also his hand. So I mean, that might be a factor as well.
Now, Nedro's seems to be good. We're still hopeful to start Nedro tomorrow night,
Okay, awesome.
and then Friday we'll throw Corey, but it'll be very limited. Just basically get him hot and get him down. And again, he's been the workhorse for us, and we certainly we feel like we've thrown him a ton, and we just to try to throw him tomorrow night and then bring him back Tuesday is, we just can't do that for a lot of reasons. We want him at full strength, and he certainly has a career in this, so we got to be careful how we use him down the stretch.
Yeah, no, that's definitely smart. That makes a lot of sense. And it's something I wanted to ask you about too is I was looking at the league where you coached for a long time, Mount the Mid Midwest
Missouri
Midwest was
Valley.
it Mount yeah Missouri Valley Missouri
Small.
Valley yeah Missouri Valley Conference. And the way that their conference tournament is run is interesting. The one and two C's get a bye, which probably if that was the case here, you might be putting a little more premium on the 2 seed, you think?
Sure.
So new rules with the AAC. I enjoy the AAC tournament a lot. I think what's kind of cool about it is you're in your own pot of four. The other guys are on their own pot of four, and basically you have to go win a regional, and then you play a single game championship. I mean, it's pretty simple. I think it. What I noticed in back in 2021 when the team won it, you could see how they managed like as if it was a regional, and just getting to that last game, that last day on Sunday was kind of like everybody's exhausted, and now you're just trying to see who can grind it out. So it's fun. It's interesting.
Well, I think, the Missouri Valley, what we sat down and decided, we weren't getting multiple bids in the NCAA tournament. We were getting two, we weren't getting three. And we felt at the time, we were finishing as a conference, usually sixth, seventh in the RPI. And so we felt like we were a league that should get three teams in. So we went to a new format. So we were protecting our RPI teams the best we could, and usually those were the top four.
Okay.
And you have to, so we played a play-in game with 5, 6, 7, 8. So then if those teams rotated down and the top seeds took care of business, then the teams remaining in the tournament all had pretty solid RPIs, and you weren't going through a
Okay.
conference tournament killing your RPI.
Right.
And
That's
then
interesting.
ultimately, and then I think there's also something to be said. You play nine series, right?
Right.
And then you show up at a tournament that's equal ground, and winning a conference championship is great, but there should be a means to earn a seed. Like softball the other day, I was looking at their bracket.
Yeah.
One, two automatically in the semifinals, and not that that bracket will ever pass in the baseball
Yeah,
format,
yeah.
but there still has to be ultimately some thought given to how you. What do you earn by winning the league or finishing in the top four?
That's a great point. It's a great point.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, a few years ago, before the AAC expanded, it was only an 8-team league, and every single team got in regardless of how they did. I personally didn't like that because it's like, what's the incentive, to get top six versus seven or eight? And then, like you're saying, Missouri Valley, at least the top two get a bye. You've earned that right. I mean, it's a long season. You grind out these games. So yeah, it'd be if you or Michael Kelly have any influence on future AAC.
He might. I don't. But if you look at UTSA, I mean, their reward might be Wichita State sitting in that 8 seed, and that's no cup of tea.
Exactly.
Or Memphis, that's not an easy game. I mean, whoever comes in there is that number eight's a club that can beat you game one. So
Yeah.
there are no gimmies this time of the year.
Yeah. And I just wanted to ask you, I mean, you've coached a lot of regionals. Do you put a, from as a fan, just seeing how college baseball regionals play out and this tournament essentially being a regional versus a regional, that first game and just getting into that winner's bracket, how much of a premium do you place on that?
It's everything. You can't lose. You can't lose. I think if there's one predictor in the regionals, you lose game one, you're the chances of, because now you've got to, most likely in our situations, you got to beat a one seed twice. And that's usually a pretty good one seed sitting there. And it's tough enough to get back to them, but by the time you get back to them, you've expended a lot of pitchers. So what you have left to try to beat, in our case, a lot of times it was Vanderbilt because of geographically, that's where we were sent. It's really tough to beat them twice in their home stadium with your seventh and eighth pitchers.
Yeah, no, that's I just wanted to ask you that because it's something that I've been following college baseball closely the last 4 or 5 years, and you see it every regional. It's like you have to win that first game. It is rare to come climbing out of that loser's bracket. It is.
Just the amount of pitching depth you have to have it's so hard.
Definitely. But yeah, I wanted to touch on one more thing here. The UTSA series, I think that's relevant to talking about Clearwater, because we got swept, right? But the last two games were very close. One of those games, is kind of like an example where I saw the guys fighting. I mean, we were down 9-3 and made it 9-5 and 9-7, and ultimately got the winning runs to the plate at the very end. Did the same thing on Sunday. I mean, you got to be proud of how your team competed, but obviously it's not the results you wanted. But what did you learn from playing against them that might help you if you're to face off with them again in Clearwater?
Well, I mean, they're a good club. I mean, they really are. They're very good offensively. There aren't many breaks in that lineup. You've got to play very solid baseball. If you make a mistake, which we did a few times in that series defensively, they take advantage, you know, and that's good teams do that. It seems like you open up the door, and next thing you know, they get a three spot. And a lot of teams get the door open and can't take advantage, but they certainly do. I felt like they pitched it enough. I didn't feel like, you know, if we could have gotten a little deeper in their pen, I think things might have been different. They basically used five, six guys, you know, for the weekend, and were able to hold serve. But I think all year has been a learning curve for me, for sure. I mean, a lot of these guys in the league we've never seen or coached against or. So just getting a feel of how people play and how they do things and what they like to do in certain situations. Will they bunt? Will they swing? Do they like to run here? You know, what types of pitches are they calling when their back's against the wall? And so it's all year's been a learning curve, you know, and it's a typical college season. You know, there are many moves that I would like to have do-overs on, and there were a few in that series I'd like to have a do-over on. Especially Friday when, you know, Corey had that 5-3 lead. And so I felt like we matched up pretty well against them. You know, you never know when you go in against a team how you match up, but I felt like we matched up pretty well. I just feel like they were a very confident team, not the least bit concerned when the road got rough. And give them credit. You know, they came in here and beat us. We didn't lie down. We didn't play terrible baseball. They just beat us that weekend. And but we certainly, you know, from that, you know, the guys turn around and we go up to Florida and then to Florida Atlantic. So, you know, you judge responses more than anything else in this world, how people respond to a perceived bad weekend. I was really pleased with the way the guys responded.
Yeah, I was that wasn't even on my kind of points to make, but the response after UTSA, that was awesome. You know, to go up to Gainesville and to have that performance, especially we talked about it, Aiden Longoria, his first time play pitching in a month, pitching the way he did, clean pitching the way he did. Yeah, so. You learn a lot about your team, obviously, when you see how they respond to adversity, and you have to like what you saw in that sense, for sure.
Absolutely.
For
Yeah,
sure.
absolutely.
Nice. So my last question before we get to the last conclusion here, I'll just, you know, ask you straight up, do you think that your team can win the AAC tournament? And if they can, what will it take for them to do that?
I mean, we wouldn't even show up in Clearwater if we didn't think we'd save the money. You know, our team understands it's anybody's game now. They know that. These guys are smart. They're not scared. They're going to go in there and give it hell, and we'll let the chips slide. I think the big thing for us is making sure we go in and let it loose and not play the least bit. There's nothing to be tight about or timid at this point. I mean, we're not the favorite, and that's a good thing when you go into a tournament. Sometimes if you're that one, you're a little tight, especially if you're worried about the RPI and things going on. So I think we have to relish in the underdog role and maybe do some things that others aren't willing to do in terms of being aggressive with some things. But I think this time of the year, what the most encouraging piece is, and I said it earlier, we have not played our best baseball. And this time of year, it's about who gets hot and plays their best baseball. It's doesn't matter what's happened to this point. It's really hard to sustain over a 3.5 month period, you know, in college baseball, and play at a certain level all year. And I think sometimes teams peak too early. I feel like responding after the UTSA series, the way we played at Florida, the way we played at FAU, getting ready for this week. I just see our guys every day, every day, every day, getting a little better, a little better. And so I think the big thing is carrying that into the tournament from this upcoming weekend.
That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely will be watching closely this weekend to see, how that momentum is continuing, because the last week and a half has been really encouraging. And yeah, if they can, you want to play well going into Clearwater, obviously. So this weekend is important to maintain that momentum for sure. Yeah.
Sure.
So
And
my
it's
last thing, go ahead, go ahead.
senior weekend. We got some guys that'll be suiting it up at the Red for the last time. So I think Saturday, the 2 o'clock game is our senior ceremony. So we have several guys that this is it, their
Right.
last go round. So kind of a bittersweet weekend, always that last one.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And that reminds me, I think when you joined, or when we got hired by USF, I remember there was a video of the senior day when your son was playing against you. Is that right?
Yeah,
That's pretty cool. I never got to ask you about that. What was that like?
not a lot of fun playing against your own kids. Yeah, he had his senior day at Valparaiso when we finished our season there, so I was able to be there for his senior presentation, which was awesome.
That's really cool. Combining work and family at the same time. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, hey, before we let you go, we always just like to give you the final word. Is there anything else that we have talked about that you want to share with Bulls fans? Anything about the team or just what you've seen from your guys, or just any message to the fan base as we head to the final week and the conference tournament?
Nothing more than I'll just reiterate what I said earlier. You know, these guys have busted their tail all year, man. They've put time in, and that's not always the case. And when you see guys that have put the time and the extra time, and you watch them fight and you watch them battle, they've done everything we've asked and then some. And we've worked them really hard. You know, our coaching staff has done a great job. Coach Slareth, Coach Peters, Coach Kangas, Coach Cates, Coach Bowers, and Coach, how we got so many coaches, I can't remember them all. Coach
Schaefer.
Schaefer. But they've done a great job, and they've pushed the guys, and they've pushed them all year, and our players have responded. You know, we haven't always been as pretty as we certainly wanted to be with our play, but man, I like the fight. I like the way they've fought all year, and you know, that's all you can ask. It's not always going to be great. Some days life gives you lemons, and that's just the way it is. And they've handled that. They've handled the good, they've handled the bad, and they come back every day ready to go to work. And I certainly hope our former players, our alumni, our fans that have watched appreciate how hard they've worked and how hard they've grinded this year and how competitive they've been for us, because we certainly have as a coaching staff.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm friends with a few of the baseball alumni, and they've had a lot of nice things to say about what they've seen, and what you guys are doing is being noticed and appreciated for sure. So,
We appreciate that.
yes, sir. Awesome. Well, that'll do it for this edition of It's Brewing at McEwen. Big thank you again to head coach Mitch Hanna for joining us. If you're enjoying the show, please be sure to subscribe, leave us a review. Follow us on social media and keep up with all the latest things on USF baseball. But with that, thank you again, Coach Hannes. And
Yeah, I appreciate it.
yep, we'll see you soon. We'll see you at the
Okay, see you
ballpark.
soon.
Yep, I'll be
Take
there
care.
Saturday. See ya.
Okay,
Right,
take care.
bye.
See you.